another day of declines.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Dubai's debt problems have spooked worldwide stock markets again today. Dubai World, the United Arab Emirates' main development engine, said it can't, for now, start paying back $60 billion in debt. Now that's raised concerns about an increased threat of default. Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard is with us now to talk about the worldwide implications. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Gosh, Stephen, though, $60 billion, I mean, relative to the huge sums of bad debt that we've heard about during this financial crisis, I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot of money. Why is the concern about Dubai World so intense?
Well, $60 billion of declared debt. The fear is it could be a lot more than that, perhaps in excess of $100 billion, and that the total debts of government-backed companies in Dubai could exceed 100% of the city-state's GDP. So that's raised the specter of a government default, and that, in these jittery conditions, has raised fears of other governments defaulting. In fact, the cost of insuring against default by other countries like Russia, even Greece and Ireland, jumped sharply yesterday.
You know, Stephen, when we think of countries in the Persian Gulf, we assume that there's a lot of oil, that they're rich and flush with all this cash. I mean, how is it possible that Dubai is in this situation?
Dubai itself hasn't got any oil, but its neighboring emirate, its fellow emirate, Abu Dhabi, has. It's pumping 2.5 million barrels a day and has a sovereign wealth fund, the largest in the world, worth $600 billion. And some people indeed are saying Abu Dhabi is not going to allow Dubai to go bust. However, Abu Dhabi has only so far let a little bit of money trickle into Dubai. It's clear that it's not going to pay all of Dubai's debts. And so the big uncertainty is which banks, which bondholders are not going to be repaid. That's the thing that's unnerving markets.
All right. Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
And stocks continue to slide overseas. European markets are down right now, generally under 1%. Asian stocks tumbled today. The Hang Seng lobbed off nearly 5%, more than 1,000 points. The Nikkei lost about 3.25%. Stock futures here at home looking pretty dismal so far as well. Every department store has its mainstay brands, well-known labels that customers come to expect. But as Andrea Gardner explained, several labels are packing up and preparing to lay roots in new homes, and that could cause some consumer confusion.
Clothing brands Dana Buchman, Liz Claiborne, and Ellen Tracy are all moving down market. They've all inked deals with lower-priced department stores, and it feels like a retail musical chairs. Buchman will move out of Saks Fifth Avenue and be sold exclusively at Kohl's. Tracy, which was a staple at Nordstrom, will go to Macy's, and Liz Claiborne is headed from Macy's to JCPenney. Moving down market is not something most brands want to do, but Candace Corlett with WSL Strategic Retail says labels like Liz are losing their luster as many women choose trendier brands. So you do what you gotta do.
They've done their homework and they've calculated that they're going to pick up more JCPenney shoppers than they're losing at Macy's. This is their second wind.
And what's a brand to do when it needs a revival after the second wind? Corlett says they find a third wind.
They go to Walmart.
That's home sweet home for brands like Jordache, OP, and Norma Kamali. In Los Angeles, I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs such as Marketplace Money, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
You know, advertising revenues have been hit pretty hard in this economic downturn. Spending reportedly is down more than 10%. But that's not the only bad news on Madison Avenue. A growing number of clients wants to withhold some pay from ad agencies unless their marketing campaigns work. Lily Fowler explains.
Procter & Gamble is the world's biggest advertiser. Last year, the company spent close to $8 billion hawking everything from Pampers to Swiffer Mops. So when P&G decided it wanted to change the way it pays for advertising, it put Madison Avenue on notice.
We're going to pay them for good work, and we're going to reward them with extra compensation if the brand grows and they perform well.
Richard Delcourt is P&G's finance director. He says the company used to pay ad agencies based on how many hours they worked, a measurement called billable hours. But now P&G is switching to a payment system based on performance. In place of billable hours, P&G pays a flat fee and offers back-end performance bonuses if an agency's ad campaign boosts sales. The bonus is around 10% of all new sales. P&G has these performance deals for more than 70 of its largest brands.
Once you switch to Swiffer SweeperVac,
P&G isn't the only big advertiser making a change. Coke says it will cover an ad agency's cost to create a campaign. And if the campaign pays off in higher sales, the agency gets up to a 30% bonus. Ron Baker is founder of the Verisage Institute, a think tank dedicated to doing away with the billable hour.
It's holding the agency to account for results, whereas under the billable hour, it was just, hey, I spent the time.
But the performance-based system comes at a tough time. The auto and retail sectors have slashed marketing budgets, and ad agencies have cut tens of thousands of jobs. And this new way of doing business could hit smaller agencies especially hard. Steve Cascella is chief financial officer for Ground Zero, an ad agency in Los Angeles.
Nobody's in this business to work for nothing. And I would argue the problem with putting such an emphasis on results, where 100% of the agency's profit is locked into certain results achievement, is it assumes that the agency has control of all the variables that determine success. That couldn't be further from the truth.
Like, what if the product is poorly made, or if its price is too high?
The agency gets punished for it?
Cascella thinks agencies and companies should agree on a fair price for their services and leave it at that. I'm Lily Fowler for Marketplace.
And finally, in Britain, health officials are slamming a new beer that is an intoxicating 32% alcohol. It's called BrewDog's Tactical Nuclear Penguin. But the head of a group called Alcohol Focus Scotland says the Penguin beer is as strong as whiskey and questions whether it really is a beer. The brewer says Penguin really is about pushing boundaries. It's certainly about pushing the pocketbook. It goes for about $50 a bottle. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.